You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Bauer's done well there along the byline, facing back post. Telford! It's his first Toronto FC goal! And it caps an excellent night! Ryan Telford, Toronto's own!
Friday, May 19th. It's Ian Clark. Yes, the first Lone Wolf podcast of the season. And a good one. It's TFC down Orlando City 2-1 to quiet the panic surrounding the club for at least a week. I look at how we get here. A Champions League run, injuries, drop points, then into the match, focusing on the man of the match, Ryan Telfer. His background, how it all fits into the greater discussion of Canadian player development. Oh yes, a follow-up on Agar Akeche, and give props to Jay Chapman and to St. Ricketts, who are also key to the result. It's all that and more on the next 35 minutes on Eastside Stand Up. After last season, thought about it long and hard if I should just keep doing these kind of pods, and then I thought, you know, I really do like talking to myself more than I expected. So if I can't find someone to come on the pod, that's no big deal. I'll just do it by myself. That's the way it's gonna roll, everybody. So here I am on my roof, Saturday morning, acutely aware that if someone comes up here to barbecue, they're gonna see some weirdo talking to himself in front of a microphone. But I've positioned myself directly in front of the door, and I can see the elevator, so I'll just pretend I'm writing notes, and I have a microphone in front of my face, and I'll only kind of look like a creep. Here we are. Are we celebrating? Are we happy? Is everyone in a better mood this week? 2-1 win over Orlando. I was going to make the joke that the team we usually crush 5-0 at home, today we're celebrating a 2-1 edging. However, I did look back on last year and I was like, oh, it was a 2-1 win last year as well. But I would say a different kind of 2-1 result, because last season it seemed like we were pretty much putting the nail in the coffin in the first half. I can't think of how many games were over by halftime, at least in terms of you could just tell the other team they weren't going to bring anything serious to the table in order to beat us. And that's my recollection of that Orlando game. And unfortunately, no Jovinko. Maybe it would have been 4-1 if he'd been there, because he's usually good for 2 or 3 goals against Orlando City, and we didn't have him. But we still came out with the win. And I think again, everyone's going to be pretty happy. I think a couple weeks ago on the pod when we beat Philadelphia 3-0, you know, we got a little bit of heat from the criticism that Steve leveled. But oddly enough, that criticism it was true. I mean, a lot of things that he was concerned about, that he was highlighting, he was right. I mean, Bradley, we had no spine. Bradley shouldn't have been the last man back. And I think as we saw after that in the subsequent games, I think most people who watched the team came to the conclusion, yeah, we definitely ASAP need him in the midfield as that holding mid. He shouldn't be the last man back. And we need Vasquez playing a more of the playmaker role instead of out wide or whatever. And in the last couple of games, especially last night, we saw a bit more of that. And I think things looked a bit better for Toronto. But the funny thing was, too, I was looking at, you know, since that Philadelphia win, or at least since we got out of the Champions League. And, you know, Aaron had this conversation, too. We were talking about form and where the team is. And I have not really been sweating this run of games, I gotta be honest. I know there's been talk this week, and you've seen people showing their fucking spreadsheets, people being like they're on the cusp of making the playoffs, and I understand in terms of numbers, but for me it's always, you know, I've always just kind of like more gauged the team in terms of literally what I'm seeing out there. And this never to me felt like, I know you can make a comparison to 2012, but I mean, you can't. That team fucking sucked. I mean, player for player, they were not good, especially as a unit, and especially as in terms of coaching, in terms of the front office. I mean, that was just a horrible team and a horrible club. And I really I really don't think that's the case right now. For me, at least since we got out of that Champions League, I think you have to consider, obviously, the injuries that the team has faced, the mileage that they've put on, the games they've already played. I think I saw an interesting stat in terms of the air miles that Toronto's played against Orlando so far this year. The elevation they've had to go at. I mean, you look at that Champions League run of going to Colorado and going to those games in Mexico. And the other thing that kind of I was thinking of, I mean, think about, there's a lot of talk when like DPs come to MLS from Europe. And, you know, one thing they always say, oh, that's the style of play and it's physical, yada, yada, yada. But I think what you might hear that a lot of European high-level players are not necessarily surprised, but I think is the toughest thing for them is the schedule and the travel distance. And I'd be interested to know from people who do travel a lot, who spend a lot of times on airplanes and going around, what that toll, because the other conversation obviously is the injuries that Toronto's facing. For me, I'm wondering if it's just simply like, man, flying takes a lot out of you. And if we're flying to Mexico back and forth and back and forth and back and forth three times in the span of a month, I don't know, no matter how fit you are, no matter how we type the train, I think it's going to fuck up your body. And I think, honestly, I think that's part of what it's been. And it's, I think it's something that we talked about at the start of the season that, yeah, the Champions League is gonna, it's not just the history of the form of an MLS team that they face when they're in that, you know, playing, you know, battle on two fronts, however you want to say it, but I think the physical toll it takes of playing twice as many games as your MLS opposition and then coming out of that in the mental and physical fatigue, I think that comes from it. Not making excuses, I'm just saying that's my observation. That's what my thoughts are. And also that since we got out of it, honestly, I mean, I look at all the games we've played. I don't know, man. I think every single game you can look at those and be like, we're the better team. Now, I would say we haven't played good teams or teams that are in good form. You know, you look at Chicago, you look at Philadelphia, you look at Seattle, you look at New England, and then, of course, Orlando. I mean, that's not, you know, those aren't MLS Cup favorites that we've been up against. So I think that is something also to be considered. But then, you know, you weigh in, we're missing so many key players. And I think when you look, when I look at last week's game against New England and the way we talked about that result, it's like, yeah, that usually we chalk that up into a pretty humbling or boring or meek performance. And that second half, I don't know, I thought there was like, yeah, there was, you almost thought, shit, we might come away with a draw. And Aaron asked that question, you know, what do you usually take for this? I go, if we had our best starting 11, if we have the guys that were playing in the Champions League in form and playing like that, I mean, you're saying it's a lock for a draw and you're hoping for a win. Whereas then we were thinking it's probably a loss, hoping for a draw. And then, of course, we're playing Orlando and it's got to be a win every day of the week at BMO. And I think that's, again, you look at Chicago, you look at Philadelphia, you look at Seattle, and then you look at Orlando. And this is just general before I go into the game. None of those teams really brought it, in terms of the full 90 minutes, none of them brought anything to the table. And I think the difference is that, you know, we were missing clinical finishers, especially in terms of Josie and Jovinko. And you're not seeing the rest of the guys. A couple guys aren't playing very good. A couple of signings aren't playing very good to make up for that. Where a game that last night we kind of scraped through with a good 3 points should have, in almost any circumstance of what this current roster and what our club is, should have been a handily or an easy victory. So that's kind of my start to this. And, you know, if we look at this starting lineup from what we've seen, it's like, yeah, we know Jovinko's out on a red. And I hadn't really made a note to weigh in on that because I know that's a topic of discussion. And, I was sitting in before the game starts and people are talking about it. And it's valid. Like, you know, he's got to stop doing that. You know, he's got to be a hothead, yada, yada, yada. And I mean, I don't mean that. I know I got some Italian listeners. I mean, you're essentially asking an Italian not to be an Italian. I mean, that's the way, and Alex made a good point, I thought, last podcast. I mean, you take that out of him, you take that out of his game, you take away his game. So I really think you just have to say, accept that's who he is. Or it's a discussion about, you know, do we re-sign him? Because I think this is what he brings to the table. And I add, Aaron had a great point where it's like, I think a lot of players, I mean, I would, the two guys that I think of is like Pirlo and Lampard, especially New York. When I saw Toronto play New York and those guys playing, to me, I mean, they just looked like they couldn't give a shit. You know what I mean? Especially Lampard. I think he could have, he brought nothing to the table and couldn't care either way. And even when you look at a guy who, I mean, I'm obviously a Liverpool supporter. When Gerrard came to MLS, you could just tell it was like he could take it or leave it. And so I think that's something to consider when we have this discussion about Jovinko. I mean, he's passionate about winning. He's passionate about the shitty calls from the ref. You know, I just think I'd rather have that than a guy just shrug his shoulders and be like, whatever, I'm collecting a paycheck if I don't get a call. So I'm sure there are people who will disagree with that. That's fine. But that's kind of the way I think of it and look at it. And it's like, it had, for me, it hasn't totally crossed the line. Like, we haven't had that Zidane moment where, you know, in a final, you're like, God damn, why did you do that? You cost us the game. It's been close. I'll admit, there's been a few moments touch or go, but I think there's been more moments that I cut him slack on for that, where he's come in. I still will put above his bad play the 2015 playoff clinching game against New York. I mean, what more do you want? Guy comes off a plane, fucking scores a goal and gets us into the playoffs, and then people are gonna complain about his how he behaves and his passion. Anyways, so Jovinko's not in the lineup, which is too bad, because Orlando is a, that's just one of those teams. It was like Luis Suarez against Norwich City. You just, it didn't matter where it was. You knew there was going to be goals scored. So Bono's in net, and the back line's looking a little bit different. You have Mavinga and Vanderveel. Well, no, sorry. Zavaleta, Mavinga, and Vanderveel. And that's an interesting setup. And then you have Oro and Telfer. And then, of course, everyone is happy. Bradley's in the midfield. Osorio, Chapman, Vasquez, Hamilton starting up front. So, I mean, I'll touch on all that stuff quick. Not quick. I have a couple key points. And, you know, I mean, what to say? The beginning of the game, Toronto not fielding their best 11, and you're not really sure what to expect. And then you see Orlando, and, you know, you see, you know, they got Sasha Kljestan now. That's a, you know, that's a key piece of their midfield. You know, they got some MLS vets that look that are okay. So you're not sure what's going to happen. And, you know, if I maybe just mention, you know, a few of my notes, you know, Hamilton had a good chance early on. And my observation was by the 20th minute, the one thing I saw thought was interesting in terms of our strategy was that there was moments where it looked like that, you know, we would win a ball back, and I think the instinct is to quickly push forward and try to create something. And it's almost like they would take a stop, take a breath, and reset by bringing the ball to the back, which I think maybe people get frustrated with, but I kind of think on this game as a whole was the right thing to do, because I think it's almost like we have to get back into the way we played, the way that has been successful for us, which is start from the back on the ground, you know, work it between the back line, get it to Bradley. Bradley pushes it up, and we work our ways along the wings and kind of try to cut in. And I know it might not be exciting, but I kind of think that, you know, those points where we won the ball back and you thought we might try to, like, just go for the attack, and Vanderveer would stop and just kick it back to Bono. Or he'd stop and get it to Vavinga, who would pass over to Zavaleta, who would pass it back to him. And they would kind of wait. They would kind of bide their time until until Bradley kind of showed up and picked it up. And it's, again, it's like, you know, I know it's not exciting, but I think without our best 11, I think we need to play like that. And I think we need to integrate these other guys who weren't a part of that team necessarily last year, getting tons of minutes on that team last year, familiar with that style of play, because that's ultimately what our success was built around. And for me, I still think that is what's going to bring us wins this year and could have a repeat. I don't see any teams, honestly, that are better and I think can cope with that. Kind of like week in, week out. So I'll get into this point, because this is in the first half, is when this guy started to emerge and we all started talking about it. Was, you know, Ryan Telfer. 26th minute, you know, he has a shot. And there was two moments in the first half where he won free kicks by really starting to be a menace down that left side. And I don't know, it's just something where you just, you know, you don't want to get too, you know, you don't want to get overly excited, because I think this was, you might say this was his breakout game. This was sort of the first game where he really stood out. Obviously, he scores a goal, but even before that goal came, I think he was the talk. He would have been the talk of this game, of like the, you know, the player to watch and the player who emerged. And I just think, especially considering some of the guys that we expected to be good this year, for him to come out in this last, you know, we've seen increments from him. We, you know, it's kind of, you know, I guess it's kind of like last year with Raheem Edwards, in a way. But I think there's something that might, this might be different, where you see the increments. You know, he starts coming a little bit, and every, you know, you kind of be like, oh yeah, you know, he was a guy from last year, on TFC2 that really proved himself. And now he's on the first team and he's starting to prove himself. And now the first thing I'll say is, you know what? Yeah. Is he complete? Is he a Justin Morrow yet? Is he able to kind of be in sync with everyone? You know, the answer is no, he's not yet, because he's only got a few games under his belt. He's only got a few starts under his belt, but, clearly he physically can handle himself at this level. I think, he's got deceptive pace. I think he's faster than he might look. I think it's like he's got the stride. You know, it's like he's not quick on his feet, but he's got long strides. So I think he can cover ground really fast. And I think the thing that was encouraging was that as the game went on, I think he realized, I can win this battle. I can win this left side of the pitch and make things happen. And it's like his, you just could kind of see like his confidence grow. And if I take the first sidebar of the podcast that I kind of want percolating in my mind over the last night, and the thing I was kind of thinking, because, you know, one of the things that I'm, it's an interest, I think people would know from the podcast, and, you know, one of the reasons why I have Aaron Nielsen on the podcast so much is because I have a real interest in, you know, player development and, you know, finding kind of like those hidden gems. And I think an interesting thing, I wonder if people have thought about this, is that back-to-back years, I don't know if I would say, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, like, I think last year people would say Raheem Edwards was kind of like a breakout player. And if Ryan Telfer continues on this, the way he played tonight, you could say Ryan Telfer is another breakout player. Interesting how both those guys are Canadian/Ontario collegiate players, not academy background guy, and, like, you know what I mean, in terms of at least TFC. You know, I find it frustrating when you talk about player development and you talk about soccer in this country or football in this country, and, you know, I just, you know, there's a lot of people build their narratives, and I think they do it for sometimes their own reasons, to say things like, you know, we aren't good enough at developing players and we don't have the talent in Canada. And I honestly think that's fucking bullshit. I think our national team has been good enough, at least to get to the hex the last few times. I think we developed good enough players. I think the problem is that a lot of times those players don't get a chance, even on the Canadian teams. A lot of times there's nowhere for them to go. And you see that time and time again. And I think if a player has somewhere to go and still keep playing and not have to hang up their boots at 21 or 22, I think you'd be surprised how many good players there are in this country. And I think Raheem Edwards was an example from last year, and I think Ryan Telfer is going to be an example from this year, where, you know, it's like, and there's a commentary, you know, people say, oh, the NCAA is shit, it's not a where to go. I really don't think it, sometimes it matters. I think it's just the kid needs to keep playing. And I think this is an example of it, that they just needed to keep getting minutes, and it'll pay off. And if I can, maybe, like, not necessarily take a shot at the bow, because I know that there's some good young guys coming up at TFC Academy, but it's kind of weird that, you know, back-to-back years, the young guys we're talking about aren't from Academy. They're coming from York and Sheridan that came through TFC2. So, I mean, think about that. Think about, shit, how many guys are at Sheridan or at Humber or at York or at McMaster that might actually be TFC caliber players. It's something worth thinking about. I mean, I'm just super encouraged by, there's two things I'm encouraged by. It's obviously Ryan Telfer coming through and looking great. And the second thing is, I mean, for me, that's just a commentary on the potential talent that's in Canada, and that there's guys probably out there that are 22 and we might have never heard of them. They could be playing. You know what? That's a bad comment. That's a bad comment. It tells you that, you know what? If you look at, what is it? The, you know, the Quebec League, League One Ontario, whatever. There's probably guys who could cut it in MLS. Or that tells you, hey, shit, there's going to be some really good talent for the Canadian Premier League. Really good talent. Good talent for the Canadian Premier League that, if given a shot, might actually prove themselves. So, you know, if I roll through the game, obviously, you know, tying into that, and again, not trying to take a shot at TFC, but, you know, another guy that everyone's kind of like chatting about now is Jay Chapman, a guy who wasn't a part of TFC Academy, was not good enough for TFC Academy, goes to the NCAA, comes back, and has now scored 2 goals for us this season. And I think is, again, a guy that might be emerging as sort of that, you know, that fourth or fifth midfielder, depending on what our formation is, off the bench. And, you know, the only thing I would say, that first goal he scored was great. Like, it's such a well-taken goal and something that was refreshing to see from a young guy. If I can be fair, you know, the only thing I would say, and you know, the difference between, you know, him and Osorio and Delgado, who I think is having a really bad season so far, is that I find that Chapman is more reacting still, and he's still kind of, to me, it looks like he's still watching the play a little bit instead of actively moving off the ball to be a part of the play, if I can say it like that. Like, last night I was watching Osorio and I was watching Chapman, and just to me it seemed like Osorio is always on the go. And always looking around his shoulders and kind of wanting the ball. And he's also directing his teammates around, telling them where to go and what to do. And of course, I mean, he's got more experience, obviously, but that's just something where I think as he gets more experience, I think that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm hoping for. But I'm hopeful. I think that we should expect that. If Chapman gets the same kind of looks that Delgado has got over the last couple years, then I don't think we should expect anything less. And, you know, his goal, here's the thing that ties this all together, because, you know, there's obviously talk about injuries and stuff like that. And we didn't talk about it last week. We talked about it off the pod. And I've seen comments online where it's like, you know, when we're talking about depth, I saw a few people kind of being like, yeah, you know, we don't have options up front. Like, Hamilton is no good. Ricketts is no good. And this is, you know, here's my thought. Like, the start of this game, I was like, why is Hamilton starting? And if I say it like this, if we're going to compare and contrast, I just think Ricketts brings way more to the table than Hamilton does. However, on the flip side, I do see the value of putting Hamilton out there because he's a young guy and he needs minutes. And he needs to prove himself. Like, I do believe in that. I believe he needs to get some minutes to kind of... We need to come to a conclusion on Hamilton. And you won't get that unless he gets minutes. Because there's been players we've had on our team in the past that you couldn't definitively say... Who was it? Emery Welshman, right? Was a good example where people were like, oh, well, it's just not good enough. How can you say that? We hardly ever saw him. He never got a chance. And... There was MLS teams that wanted him that Toronto wouldn't send him to, or that they wouldn't take because of his background, nationality, that they didn't want to use a slot on him. If he was an American, he would have been on an American team, no problem. In one way, I can see that, but I would say this, and I know this kind of seems like there's mixed views on Ricketts, but I mean, how can you deny that the second he comes on the field, I mean, he technically creates that first goal, should have scored it. It was a bit of a tough angle, but I mean, he creates that chance for Chapman to knock in, almost has a second goal. I wish I could have seen on YouTube. They only show one angle on the replay, so I couldn't see if that shot went off an Orlando player or it went off Delgado. Because if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, if that had hit an Orlando player, then it wouldn't have mattered, right? If he was offside, I don't know. It was close. Either way, you know, he's in a position for two goals. And the other thing I would say, I kind of like, I really was thinking about Ricketts and like what he does offer. And I know this is a, like, it's, I don't mean this tongue in cheek and I don't mean this unfairly because I've used this, you used it before, but it's almost like he's kind of, I think he's kind of like Josie Light. And I don't mean that just like in the physical appearance. He's not as, you know, he's obviously not as strong and he's not as strong, you know, back to goal. But the one thing I observed from him is that, man, he's always ready on that shoulder of the last defender. And he's going to beat that race for the ball 10 out of 10 times. Like, I'm, there's no one out there, I think, in an open field. If you give him, if we're at the half and you give him the opponent's half to run onto a ball, he's always going to get it. Now, does he finish it is another story. But, I mean, that's the threat that he brings, that he can stretch a back line and he gives you that option. I just, honestly, I like that. And when you look at his goal, his goals per minutes played, I mean, it's pretty good. So, look, I get that he's not, he isn't that flash guy and he doesn't have that technical ability, I guess. Maybe that's maybe another difference, is that he obviously can't pass and link up as well as our ideal starting 11. That's just a fact. But I do think he brings value. And I think that his pace, especially coming in as like that sub, is invaluable. And the price that he's on, if I can kind of finish off my griping about things, and we talked about it last podcast, but I mean, I saw a tweet from Kurt saying, oh, this game's calling for Akechi to come on and score a goal. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm just like, and I don't mean to be a jerk, but it's like, for me, I've seen all I need to see. And he's for at least, I would say this, for the price that he's on, that is such a bad signing. And I'm just like, what the fuck are we watching here? And I look back, I mean, fuck, I would take Gilberto back. Because he was on almost the same salary. I think that guy offers 10 times more than Akechi does. Fuck, at least Gilberto can score a long-range goal. And I look at a bunch of different salaries. I mean, and we said this last time, he's like, essentially he's coming in as a replacement for Cooper, except Cooper was like 200 grand. So, and then I would tie that all together where, you know, Aaron's final comment last week was like, it's almost like Toronto's too smart for their own good. And maybe it's something where it's like, yeah, you know what? You guys got it right. You got it right a bunch of times in a row, maybe following this same kind of formula for your signings. And this one, I don't know. I just, for me, I kind of think that the full scouting package on him was not complete. I think they made some calls, but I don't think anyone actually sat and watched 90 minutes. I don't think they sat and watched his full season at Cadiz. I think they just saw his package. I think they heard about him. I think they liked the value that he might bring and his technical ability and his background, and that was it. I don't know. I don't have more to say on that. When I see people throw him out there like they're some sort of fucking super scout, like they got a track on something, I'm just like, use your two eyes. Like, what have you seen? Nothing. You can hit the woodwork. Way to go. Anyways, I know that's a bit harsh, but I mean I would say this, yeah, I know I'm pro Canada. I'm always gonna cut our local guys a bit more slack, but fuck that, as it should be. Osorio's on like 1/5 his salary, and the guy does 10 times more. So there, that's what I'm gonna say about that, and close that off. So if we wrap this game up, oh right, here's my last closing comment, because I'm gonna keep this podcast closed, or try to keep it short. Is, yeah, okay. So Orlando, so we missed that goal, that was offside, and then Orlando comes right back and scores, and we're all pissed because the referee, I guess he wasn't as bad as some we've seen this year, but it's still tough to watch. And then I'll say this, in the second half, because I'm griping on the referees now, there was one play in the north end where the ball goes out for a goal kick, and it was like Telfer battling with Will Johnson, maybe, around the touchline, and it clearly, Orlando knocks it out, and the linesman is standing there with his flag down, looking, like, not making the call, like, not taking any initiative to be like, yeah, fuck, it's a goal kick. and he's watching, was it Alan Chapman? He was watching the referee to make the call, and we're all losing our minds because it was like, it's right in we all saw it. It's right in front of you. Just make the fucking call. And then he points, now he puts a flag out of his goal kick. And it's just like, for fuck's sake, get it together, man. And then, of course, if we go into the last thing I want to say is, okay, so there's two things, because the other guy that I'm sort of, again, I'm just going to throw this out there because we haven't talked about it, because we haven't talked about Oro Jr. We've a little bit, but not a lot, kind of saying like, yeah, that's a good finding. But I do have to say, he's a guy too that I'm kind of like hot and cold on. His marking is sometimes just brutal. But then you're kind of surprised that this little guy actually matches up. So it's like there's a lot of good with the bad, I find, with him. And obviously the good is he had some great moments dribbling. And then for a guy who I was bitching about can't cross a ball for his life, finally crosses the perfect ball to Telfer, who this, I don't know if anyone else saw this or agrees with, the best part of that goal was his goal celebration. Fucking puts in a great goal, the game-winning goal, and he just stands there like, what's up? Yeah, I scored a sick goal. And I was like, that is the way to do it. Like, and then he points to Ricketts, and he's like, what's up? Scored a sick goal. And it's like, yeah, you guys all come to me when I score a goal. It was amazing. It was super cool. And then when he's walking back to center, the guy just looked like cool as ice. Like, yeah, this is normal. This is who I am. I'm good. And I'm like, that is like that attitude for me. I was like, yeah, man, that's now I'm like, I'm on your side. Like that kind of won me. Like he played a great game already and was winning me over. But like, that was it, man. I'm like, I want to see this guy better be starting next game. And everything he does, I'm going to be cheering for, because I was like, that was the moment. It was fucking cool the way that he dealt with that sick goal. So I guess that's kind of the way that I'll wrap it up, is that, man, what a night for Ryan Telfer. Really encouraging on, and I hope I've kind of like wrapped that up to, for like the listener to kind of think about like how, not just how cool that was, the game he played, but where he came from. I just find is really interesting. It's really something to think about. And that was the last thing I would say is like, I know that TFC, I don't know if it's a complex, but you know, it's like they really haven't brought through a player from the academy like all the way through, I think, that we can say is like, wow, this guy is like amazing. There's no doubt about it. Like all these guys who kind of have touched the academy is the way I would say it. You know what I mean? And it's not the same thing. But you got to say something for, hey, we're identifying guys who are a little bit older and we're giving them a shot at TFC2 and they're proving themselves and we're going to give them a shot on the senior team. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with that, and I think that's a viable pipeline. I mean, obviously we want that story of that kid from 14 to 18 and is ready to play pro at 18 or 19. I mean, I guess Liam Fraser is a guy people are talking about, but the thing that, again, if I don't mean to be like going in circles and circles, I just find frustrating is that that's the exception. Like, that is an exceptional occurrence. And I think because as Canadians and as North Americans, because in the last 20 years or 30 years, we've seen so much, we've got through television and online, all that stuff, we watch so much world football. It seems like a normal thing, but it's really not. What's really is normal is that player to just get out of an academy, not be, top flight ready. So they go play in lower divisions. And by the time they're in their, closer to their mid-20s and they're hitting their prime, then they're ready for top flight football. And that is normal. And it's like, this is right. This is right that a 24-year-old could be breaking through. So anyways, I know I'm like flip-flopping all over the place, but there's my last point on this. I think that's the overarching thing I thought about this game. There, that's what I think the theme was. And of course, okay, so Toronto gets a critical 3 points to kind of like maybe settle everyone down for a week, because next week we have Dallas. And I would say since we've been out of that Champions League, this is probably Well, Seattle would have won, but they're not playing good. And but still, I mean, Seattle represents, a decent, results and form aside, Seattle is a good team, traditionally. And the fuck, they play us good at BMO. Dallas is a good team that we have to be careful with. So I think next Friday is going to be a great game too to see what's up. And I think as long as, I think Chovinko's on one game. So if we have those guys back, I think we should be feeling okay. I think the overall formation we had this game, there was a lot of frustrating moments, I would say, in terms of like passing and whatnot, but hopefully it's something that just gets built on. It's a game that we can come out with 3 points. So I'll leave it at that. I put out my 2 cents, or my 2 cents? Is it 2 cents? Put in my 2 cents. 3 cents? Whatever. It doesn't really matter. I put out my opinion on some things that we've been talking about recently. Again, Telfer, great. Akeche, not great. Ricketts, I like. Chapman, I have hope for. I really like him too. And it's been really good, I think, so far this year to see so many guys, Canadians and guys from Toronto, starting to get their chance. I think that's the evolution of this team. It would be amazing if that's what this team gets into, is that, you maybe get some key guys in with the big money, and then the local guys come up, and then hopefully at some point the local boys are the ones that are earning the big money contracts. So on that note, I'll wrap this shorter podcast up, just me and myself. And next week, Steve will be back. He steered clear of any volcanoes out in Hawaii. He should have survived. And we'll get back then. You guys can reach out to me at Clark Arno at Twitter, info or have your say at rednationonline.ca. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what you're thinking about Telfer. Let me know what you're thinking about Akeche. Let me know what you think about Ricketts. Anything like that. And hopefully this is a good game to kind of like get a little run going. So we'll leave it at that, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll catch you next.
You to get involved, reach out to us on Twitter at Red Nation Online or via email at info or have your say at rednationonline.ca. Get in touch with us, let us know how you thought the team did, agree, disagree, it doesn't matter. Also, check out our other podcasts on Red Nation Online, From the Black Hole, Ours is the Fury, and our interview series. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.